Good morning.
Morning.
What a beautiful day it is. It's an awesome thing to come before God and just let our words be few. To just allow God to have His place and His say in our lives. So often we don't want to quiet our own hearts. We want to talk and we want to tell God what we need or what should be or the way we want it to work out. But we would be remiss to just move past that song that we were just singing without really thinking about it. Because when you stand before the awesome Creator God who gave His Son as a sacrifice for us, that should be our whole heart and attitude. Prayer should come from that awe that we have before God, that we worship Him in spirit and just come to see who our Creator is and to identify what He's doing in life. And when we do that, it does quiet us. It does make us not want to talk. To be quiet before the Lord for the things that He will proclaim. So may my words be few. And maybe that was Brad's joke, right? I've been going a little long in sermons lately. He's like, hey, before we get to sermon today, let my words be few. But let's begin by turning to the Gospels, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Notice here in verse 42, Luke chapter 4 and verse 42, says, now when it was day, He, speaking of Jesus, departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought Him and came to Him and tried to keep Him from leaving them. That's what we'd be doing, right? Don't leave us. We want you near. But He said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. For this purpose. To preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Preach. Notice with me over in Matthew 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. It says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. The time of reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth. But I want you to notice something as we begin to talk about the kingdom of God today. And that is it now or is it future? Now, one of the debates that you can hear in churches and between theologians is it something that's now or something that's the future? I have a person that comes to my office and he said, hey, it's all now, all of it. Is that true? Not quite. I want you to look at these verses. It says that He delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. It's true, right? We have been conveyed by belief in the blood of Jesus Christ into the kingdom. Into the kingdom of His Son. The kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. Something that is present tense. Pressing in. Something that is to be preached. Luke 17, 20-21. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Or in your midst. Look at where it is, Jesus is saying. How does it come about? How does it come about in your life? Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12, 28. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, I just showed you these five verses because here is where the kingdom of God being taught by Christ is something that comes upon you when, as we even see here, the Spirit of God comes upon you. Surely the kingdom has come upon you. And I want you to look at Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings, speaking of kings of the world, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. So here he was prophesying of all the kings of the world and all the kingdoms of the world, the great ones, and saying, they're all going to be broken apart. Has that happened yet? Not yet. John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, but now my kingdom is not from here. Definitely he's saying, this isn't it. Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel who sounds the seventh trumpet of God will make a declaration, loud voice in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Prophecy of Daniel 2, we see in Revelation 11:15. Luke 19:11, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Meaning, he knew it wasn't going to appear immediately. That it was still off in the future. 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. We're still flesh and blood, right? Can't inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, sometimes people will take verses and they will use them to argue against one side or the other. But the reality is, we need to believe every one of those verses and all the other verses in regard to the kingdom of God and know that there is good news for you and me about this kingdom. This kingdom that God is establishing. This kingdom that is without observation. This kingdom that shall come and consume all other kingdoms. How do we make reconciliation of all these things? What is the kingdom? Simple definition, a realm where a king exercises his authority. That's what a kingdom is. A kingdom is a realm where a king exercises his authority. A state or monarchy, the head of which is a king. Makes sense, right? A country, state, or territory ruled by a king. Any area or sphere in which one holds a preeminent position. Now, when you think about the kingdom of God, when you think about what a kingdom is, when you think about the gospel of the kingdom going forward to people who were needing to hear the message, who God said, this is the news that Jesus was sent to proclaim to all people, this gospel of the kingdom of God. He was declaring something completely different for the people living in that age. You realize when Jesus was on the earth, the land of Israel was occupied by foreign invaders. It was occupied by Rome. They were the ones in control of the territory. They were the ones in control. So when Jesus was coming and there was talk of a kingdom, there was a lot of thinking that there was going to be a physical uprising of warfare in Jesus' time, that He would be leading that warfare at that time in that uprising. Now what's so awesome about this is that the prophecies are true. There will be a time when that is the case. But there was also this first coming of Christ where there was a kingdom that came without observation. A kingdom that would come to any to whom He would come. You see, a kingdom is a realm where a king exercises his authority. That's the basic dictionary. I got it right off the internet. Where a king exercises his authority. What does it take for the king, Jesus Christ, to exercise His authority in your life? How does the kingdom of God come to you? How do you let God's kingdom be upon you? You see, in this, we get an understanding of where is the kingdom? Where the kingdom has authority. Where the king has authority. Where he has his rule and his reign. Where does Jesus have his rule and reign today? Is it over all the earth? When the kingdoms or the countries, the political establishments of today, when they go to make a law, when they look at the presidencies and they think, do they come to Christ and say, what shall we do? Are they looking for His authority in the laws and the rules and the governance of today? No. The kingdoms of this world are not yet the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ because they're not allowing His authority. But what about you? Does he have authority in your life? How do you become a member of that kingdom? How do you have a citizenship in heaven? Now, what are the basic characteristics of a kingdom? It's a good question to ask. I'm going to play a little game. If you were to say, what does a kingdom look like? Stephanie can't play because she aced this last night. What would you say you have to have a kingdom?
Borders.
You have to have borders. Basically, you have to have a territory, right? Raise your hand. What else? Subjects. You have to have citizenry, right? What else?
Laws,
right? Kingdoms have laws. Governments have laws. And what else do you need to have a kingdom? A king. Yes, Dusty.
A king!
Right. You have to have these things in order to have a kingdom. That's what a kingdom looks like. There's a king who's ruling over a specified territory. You have laws in that kingdom, and there are citizens in that kingdom. That's what makes it a kingdom. It's what it looks like. Now, I want you to think about that in terms of what we've been talking about, because we're talking about the kingdom of God now through the verses we've read, and we're talking about a kingdom to come in the future. The answer is they're both true, completely, when you understand what it is that a kingdom is, where a king exercises authority and dominion. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. Notice this in verse 28. It says, what do you think? It says Matthew 21, 28. What do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I'll go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. It's a good parenting lesson right there, right? If you tell your child to do something and they storm off saying no, but they relent and do it, that child did the will of the father. If the child says, oh yes, I'm going to go do it, and they do not do it, a child's not doing the will. Good parenting right there. But Jesus said to them, notice this, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Why? For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. How did they enter? They entered by the belief in the message. What was the message? Turn with me back to chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's right here. John was sent to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. John was sent ahead to prepare the way for Christ's coming. He said, here it comes. And he's saying, repent. The people who heard the message of the kingdom of God, who repented, who believed what John said, were able to enter into that belief, that relationship with God. Now notice when Jesus came preaching, notice in verse 17 of chapter 4, Matthew 4, 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this kingdom that Jesus was bringing was a kingdom that would be different from any other kingdom of this world. Now, here's where the good news starts to come in as we start to look at these verses and it starts to develop. God's kingdom is different than what you know. The way of this world is people strive for leadership. They strive for rulership that they may have power, that they may be elevated and raised up, that they may be looked up to by others, that they may oppress others. The world is full of stories of how mankind has sought to have power and dominion over others for selfish purposes, for selfish gains. The world that we live in has this as its rule of law. Its rule is the strong over the weak. The strong use their power to oppress the weak. In this day and age, you can look at it historically, or you just look around the world we live in today. Power is used to oppress. Power is used to hold down. Power is used to keep separation between those who can grab it and oppress those who are below and beneath. God's way is completely different. God is not about keeping people down. God is about bringing people into a new life in His kingdom for His glory. Notice this. When God's kingdom comes, Matthew chapter 4, notice now, verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people." It wasn't just that He was doing the work to show off or to basically say, "See, I'm God." It was God coming into the lives of people and taking dominion. What is it we really are doing when we come and say, "Will you pray for me to be healed?" What are we really doing when we cast out demons and evil spirits? What is it that's happening? It's about the kingdom of God coming near and having dominion in that place. Jesus was coming with the healing because that is the gospel of the kingdom. What was being ushered in was where His rulership and reign is. There is healing. There is life being restored. See, the good news of the kingdom of God is His rulership and reign is not to oppress us, is not to push us down in place. It's to lift us up with life and with healing. He is not looking to push us down. He's looking for our good. This kingdom is so amazing. It is so unlike any kingdom that has ever been on this earth. And it comes when He comes into our lives. We experience what His rulership is. And when He came and He put His hands on someone and He said, "Be healed," He was taking dominion right then and there in their lives to heal them and make them whole. He was taking dominion. And where His dominion is, there is healing. It's the natural outflow of His power and dominion. It's the natural outflow of who God's character is. You start to see this, you start to think about God's kingdom. There's so exciting about this. This is what makes it good news. Because where His dominion is, there is life for others. Notice with me now in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. We read this one already, but I just want to look at it again because it's so powerful when you really think about it. "But if I cast out demons," this again is Matthew 12, 28. "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Surely it has. Because the kingdom of darkness that holds someone, the kingdom of darkness that oppresses, that holds in bondage to sin and slavery, that holds someone down, that keeps them from becoming the person God created them to be, when God's Spirit comes on, they can now be lifted up. They can be restored. They can be changed. Now notice Matthew 10, verse 7. It says, "And as you go preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is near or at hand,' heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." What a kingdom that is. That when the kingdom comes near, there is healing, cleansing, raising, freeing of people, and freely giving. That is the nature of the kingdom of God. That is what Christ was proclaiming. That's what His disciples were proclaiming. That if you allow God in to your life, that kingdom that comes near is there to heal, to free. Friends, we are walking wounded. We have been hurt by the ills of sin. We have been afflicted by the pains of the sins that we've committed against others. and the sins that have been done against us. And so what happens in our hearts? Our hearts get messed up. Our thinking gets biased in an evil way. Because lawlessness abounds, love grows cold. How do you begin to help someone who has lived in lawlessness their whole lives to come to know the freedom that God intended us to have? It's the power of Christ, His dominion in our lives. Friends, as you sit here today, are you struggling in relationships? Are you struggling in the way you have relationships with your spouse or a friend or other people? Are you struggling in what's going on in your life between two people? And maybe in your heart wondering, how do I get past the hurts that I have? Jesus has to be let into that. Jesus is the healer. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of healing and of love that in the heart has to be present. You may not always be able to control what somebody else does. In fact, I'm going to tell you, you can't. The way two people heal a relationship is when Jesus dominates both lives. If Jesus only is having dominion in one life, one can be reconciled. The thing is, even in the pains and the hurts, where Jesus comes, He can provide healing, even for the most terrible hurts, even if the other person is not yet reconciliatory. Are you hurting in your heart? Are you hurting here today? Will you let the kingdom of God be near you? I am preaching to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is that if you let Him in, there can be healing for what ails your spirit, your heart, and your mind. That's what He comes to do. That's why when He sent Him out, He said, preach, the kingdom of God is near. Heal, cleanse, raise the dead, cast out the demons. Jesus' authority to take dominion. That is what we preach today. Jesus having dominion in our lives. It goes past a theology or a theoretical walk. It goes past the knowledge even of this written word to the living word having authority day by day in our walk to have the rights to rule in us. Because it takes it from knowing to living. The practice of the kingdom. Lynn said, what is the characteristic of a kingdom? One I didn't have up. She said, submission. Submission to the King. Obedience to His law. Letting Him rule and reign in the territory of your life. You being a citizen of His. You realize what's happening? That as we read in Colossians 1 earlier, He conveyed us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love. That conveyance is the calling that we had to say, this world isn't it. My life as a sinner isn't it. I don't like this kingdom. I don't like what's going on here. The realization that we have when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior is saying, all the sins that I've committed all produce death. They're worthy of death. They're worthy of what I see in this world, the misery, the pain, the suffering, the sorrow. And friends, I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news. I can't hardly take it anymore. You turn on the news every day. Every day there is a report of sin and the effects. Every day they remind you of what this world is like. Every day we should stand with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that it doesn't have to be this way. That where Jesus comes into life and has dominion, we have freedom from sin. We have freedom from despair. We have freedom from that life. And though we walk in this world that is not yet of the kingdom of God, we know that in this world we say no. We rebel against this world. We have a rebellion going on saying this world's government is not of God nor of His will. And I say no. There's only one dominion that can matter. There's only one dominion that makes sense. It is the dominion of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who when He reigns, brings healing and cleansing and resurrection and freedom from evil and freely giving of what He has to us. Guys, do you see what you have before you? The choice is plain. There is a kingdom of this world built on lust and selfishness. There is a kingdom of God that is built on love for others. That's God's kingdom. That is His law. When you think about His law, I want you to think about it as, how do I love God with all my being and others as I would love myself? You think about it. If in every relationship you had, the other person was always looking out for you, and you were always looking out for them, and when there was a mistake or an error or a problem, both parties were ready to be humble, to seek reconciliation and forgiveness, how would this world be different? How would our marriages be different? Our friendships be different? How would the relationships in this church be different and throughout the whole world? Jesus said it doesn't come by observation to say, look, it's here or see over there. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Where does the kingdom of God begin? When you give dominion to Christ in your own life. Right here. Right here. Do you realize that everything that we go through in life is saying, Jesus, right here, reign in me. Have kingship in my life. Have dominion. And when that dominion comes, it comes with all the blessings of that King. That's how we live, friends. And I'm challenging you today, if you are not experiencing the dominion of Jesus Christ in your life, the healing, the refreshing, the blessing, the Spirit of the Lord that comes from His dominion, today's check time. Today's the day you're going to come to the Lord and you're going to say, this is it. I need this dominion in my life. Because if the religion is just simply theoretical or of head knowledge and not a leading by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, how is the kingdom being exhibited in your life? How has His kingdom come to you? Everything begins by that. When we search out this word, how does the kingdom look? Just like the King who wrote the words. That's why this book is so exciting. Because He's laying it out. A whole new plan. It's a whole new plan. Not of the oldness of this world in the flesh, but of the newness of life in the Spirit. It's just so exciting. This is exciting stuff. To know that His kingdom comes near. Turn with me now over to John 3. In verse 3, Jesus here is speaking to Nicodemus, and He says, assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. It's kind of mysterious, isn't it? When you're outside, and we have a lot of wind in this part of the country, don't we? You go outside in the afternoon, the wind's just blowing, it's just swirling around you. Where does it go? Where does it come from? It says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now you realize that as the Spirit of God comes upon us, as the Spirit of God is guiding our lives, we are members of that kingdom. We are members as long as Jesus has rule and dominion in our lives. But as we look in this world, we do not see His dominion everywhere. It's self-evident that the kingdoms of this world do not submit to the Spirit of God. But where His Spirit is, there is life and peace. There is righteousness and joy. This is His kingdom that we experience when His rulership is in us. But there is a conveyance that must take place of the full manifestation of what He's talking about. That is apart from the corruption of this world, that is a rebirth that must take place. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice this. Verse 45, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. That's what Jesus comes to do. That's His dominion. Jesus wants to put life in your life. He said, you're the living dead. I want to put life in you. Abundant life. Full life. Joy. Peace. Righteousness. I want you to know what it is to be free from this world. And friends, when you look at this world and you see the dominion that sin can have and how sin can abase and sin can oppress, you know you need to see this freedom in every person. Who wants to see somebody who's addicted to drugs? Who wants to see somebody who's addicted to gambling? Who wants to see somebody who is chasing everything other than the God who created them, chasing everything other than the person they were supposed to be? That's a miserable thing to see. It comes with heartache and heartbreak. But God wants to show us this better way where there is life. Verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, a new man from heaven. Verse 48, and as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This whole kingdom that God is bringing forward, that God brings in our lives by His dominion, is a kingdom that in its fullness will have you removed from this flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. To be out of the flesh, to be away from this corruptible flesh to incorruption, to be out of mortality to immortality, to have death be put down and crushed. And friends, how hurtful is it when someone dies? How hurtful is it when one we love falls out of fellowship with us because they died? God's going to remove that. He's going to make it so that there is no more death. That's the good news of His kingdom. That there is no more pain. The good news of His kingdom. That there is no more sorrow. That's the good news of His kingdom. Because in His kingdom, there is a King who is righteous and perfect and holy in all His ways. A King who rules by divine love. Whose citizens come in because they want to be there. Because they volunteer. Because the law makes sense. The rule of love makes sense. Because selfishness they have found doesn't make sense. That God's counsel is the only counsel. That what stands is God Almighty. that His way is right. And where He is, there is peace. And the good news is that what has been proclaimed as prophecy throughout the ages is drawing near every day. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent! Because God is bringing a kingdom where those who say, I volunteer to go your way. I don't want my way. I don't want my opinion. I don't want my own spirit and ideas. I want You, God. Because I realize if I just follow my own heart, and every man does what's right in his own heart, I realize the chaos, the moral chaos, the societal chaos that happens when everybody pursues what they want apart from God. This is our time to say no. Do you realize that this unjust society that we live in is for you to be able to have the opportunity to stand up and say, I'm against it. I'm with You, God. Your will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And let it be right here in this life. This is Your realm, God. My life is Your realm. This is territory for You. My life and wherever I go, I want You to take dominion in me. I want You to pour out Your power in me. Not just in theory and thought, but that in everything. You heal me where I'm broken. You lift me up where I've fallen down. You straighten the paths that are crooked. That You have dominion in me, God, because I know if You have dominion here, my life will be a blessing to Your glory and honor. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Send me, God, with the message of life. That in everything I do and say, that God, I would show forth Your kingdom. This is what God wants from us. He's saying, it starts right here for you. Don't just wait for the future event. It's now. Let me reign here and now. And so I ask you again, are you experiencing His dominion in your life? But the ultimate dominion comes when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. Now, I had a conversation this last week with a person who was asking about the injustice. How is it fair for God to allow continued injustice when He has the power to stop it? You know, it's a reasonable question of a human being, looking at it with our limited view. How is it? You know, it says God is not slack concerning His promises. He is long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. We see a world that's not very repentant. We see a world that's not very much looking to God or hearing the gospel of the kingdom and saying that's the better way, to serve others rather than to serve yourself, to be humble as opposed to being proud and arrogant. The world has learned that you get ahead by being arrogant, by being proud. In the world of darkness, that works. But the longevity of that system, it's not sustainable. In fact, God says, unless He intervene, unless the days be shortened, no flesh would be saved alive in Matthew 24. Because that's where this is all headed. You realize the direction away from God, nobody survives it. Eventually, it's all dead. It's just a matter of time. We're just waiting to see it all play out. But you also realize that if God, once He intervenes, it's done. The ability to test, to try, to humble is done. Because once He is seen, He is known. Why do you think He clouds Himself from our visions? Why do you think that He pulls Himself back? He reveals Himself in all His works, but He's not physically standing here right now. And physically standing with you as you walk throughout the day. The reality is the Spirit is there. God is so near you, you don't even know it. But in so being, He finds out something very plain. Will you volunteer for His ways? Will you say, I choose You, God? Well, I choose God when my flesh tells me He's not watching. Because by faith, I know that everything should be done for His glory. Will I choose God? Will you choose Him? Will you choose His dominion in your life that He may have reign in what you do? Because a day is coming, my friends, when He will roll back the sky like a scroll, and all, from the least to the greatest, will know He is God. There is a day coming when He will say, enough's enough. There is a day coming when He will put it to an end. And all the heartache that we see now will be stopped. We are strangers and pilgrims in a world that is not the kingdom of our God. It is not the kingdom of our Savior. It is the kingdom of darkness from which we want to come out. And God is saying, come out. Have your citizenship in heaven. Be an ambassador on this earth for the kingdom of God. But we do not put our hope here in the things that are happening because, friends, it is unjust and it will stay unjust until God has the rulership in all of it. But God can have dominion right now in you. God can have the dominion in your life to change you and transform you and to give you the hope and the knowledge that He is coming. Notice in Matthew chapter 13, God is just, His plan is awesome, and He has a kingdom coming that we read about in Revelation 19 earlier, where the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And notice what happens here is Jesus prophesied in the parable in Matthew 13, verse 24. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while the men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, and tares appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Dropping down to verse 37, so he answered and gave the explanation of this parable. And he said, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. There are wicked. There are wicked people. We don't have to make that determination, but there are wicked people. And those who won't go and give themselves for God's way will be gathered together. Notice verse 39, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, those who accept Christ as King, those who accept His ways, those who want to be subject to His dominions, they shall shine. You've been called to shine in the kingdom of God, in a kingdom apart from the ways of this world. And He says that they're going to gather out all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. In other words, those who won't live a way of love won't have part. They won't have part. Because that is what will destroy the very peace and the righteousness of that kingdom He's creating. It's a kingdom that is separate from sin. It is a kingdom that is founded in holiness. It is a kingdom that is different than any ways the kings of this world have ever done it. Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Notice this in verse 24. It said there was a dispute among them, among the disciples of Jesus, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs is he who serves. Why is God being king so awesome? Because the greatness is shown in his service. What made Jesus, as we spoke about last week, so great is that with all the power and glory and dominion he had as God, the creator of all things seen and unseen, he empties himself to serve all of us. Because he could. Because he could, he served us all. What is the kingdom like? Not a place where kings have authority to lord it over others, but where you grow in power, in gifts, in talents, in abilities. They're used to serve other people. Not to use the intelligence to oppress. Not to use power to oppress. To use power to serve other people. Do you see how great this kingdom is? How good it is? Where those who are in power use it to serve those, to help those who are lower come up? That's what it is. That's how this kingdom can be trusted. The prophecies in Daniel 2 and in Daniel 7 are that the kingdom of God will not be given into the hands of other people. It will be given into the hands of the saints. Why? Because the saints want to love and serve one another. Do you want Christ to enter in? Let his kingdom have dominion in your life. Look around this room. Look around your life and say, how do I serve these people? That is your realm. Who do you live with? That's your realm. How are you serving the people you live with? When you go to work, there's part of your realm. How do you serve the people you work with? When you're going about your walk, whoever comes into your world, how do you serve them as Christ would? And that dominion of Christ in your life, when we submit to His kingship, that is where all the power of God can come in. With the humility that you have to serve Him, His glory will shine. That's where the gifts of the Spirit come from. It comes from a humility to serve others. To say, how can I serve you? It is so far apart from anything else. Saying, how can I serve you? So when this service ends, you all have an opportunity, and the people you talk to learn about the person who's standing across from you. To learn about them, to serve them. To learn enough to pray for them. To learn enough to consider them. Do you want to be great? Do you want God's kingdom in your life? That kingdom of love? How are you going to lay down yourself to serve the people right here? Because really, that's what we're doing. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but come together all so much more as you see the day approaching, that you may consider one another's, that you may stir up one another to love and good works. Think of a kingdom where each person is thinking about how to stir up others to love and good works. Where you get up in the morning and say, how can I serve you, Mark? How can I serve you, Carolyn? Mom? How can I serve you, Garrett? What can I do to be of help to you? Do you see where the body of Christ comes together and why sometimes it seems like the church is even the kingdom of God? In a sense, where God has the rulership and reign, it can be. And that's why when there's fights and divisions and schisms, you've got to say, who's in dominion here? You've got to ask, what is the Spirit? Because any person can be civil to another person. Any person can show love to another person. And if you can't show love and common courtesy, whose kingdom are you a part of? If you can't forgive, whose kingdom are you a part of? Because to not forgive is to hold debt. To hold debt on somebody is to keep them in debt. To keep them in debt is a spirit of murder. You've got to be able to let it go. This is the kingdom of God, friends. It's a kingdom where people know how to forgive. Where people know how to love and know how to cherish and know how to appreciate the differences in personalities and peoples. Because we're not all the same. Thank God we're not. He made us to fill our part in His body and ultimately in the kingdom as a whole. To bring forth His kingdom and His governance and His love to everyone. How does the kingdom of God come about? Not by observation. It happens right here. Does he have dominion in the way that you think about other people? God says in 1 John, he says, if you can't love your brother who you do see, how can you love God who you can't see? He's going to say, you're going to do it the way the world does, with vengeance. You're going to humble yourself. You're going to fight and hold people's feet to the fire to get the pound of flesh? Or are you going to say, I need to forgive and pray for my enemies. I need to love those who persecute me. I need to think about God's kingdom. Friends, it's been tried. If you think that somehow holding sin against somebody else is going to bring about peace, look at the world! Somebody gets offended, they want to fight back. The person who gets fought back against fights back. It's where all war comes from. But in the kingdom of God, it shall be as the waters cover the sea. They shall not learn war anymore. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. The world will know the knowledge of the Lord. All will know Him and will know His ways. And that is what will govern you and me. Have you learned to love when it hurts? Have you learned to love those who are against you? Is that not the authority of our King? Is that not what He did in giving Himself? Friends, it doesn't matter what rule you keep, what law you keep, if at the heart and base of it is not a love for others, a consideration of others, that keeps you from whatever course of selfishness comes out with all its vileness. What kingdom are we a part of? God wants us out of the darkness. He wants us into the light. The charge, do you realize how easy the light yoke is? Love. Love. Love people with abandon. Care for them. Pray for them. Help them. Encourage them. Think about other people. And how you say to yourself, how does Jesus want me to treat that person? How does Jesus want me to think of that person? You know, one of the worst things about the Christian culture and the Christian things that have happened is the amount of judgment that comes in that prevents people from caring and loving someone else. It is the biggest roadblock to God's kingdom. His kingdom flows because people care about others. I don't have to wait for you to become something different to love you. I can care about you right now. And God will do the rest. And God will judge it all in the end. You trust Him? Do you trust that God will judge it all righteously? That God will work it all out? And do you want Him to work it out in someone else's life? Seek peace and pursue it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. God is so awesome, and He will make the paths plain and the paths right. But as it says here in Luke 22, this kingdom is like no other kingdom that has ever existed, because the rulers of the kingdom will love other people and will use the power that God grants them, not for selfish purposes, but the purposes of God Almighty Himself. Verse 27, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves tables? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And as it's prophesied in Revelation, of all those of the first resurrection, they all live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Why is their rulership any different, any better? Because they don't use it to lord it. over others. They use it to serve. Start now. Start right now. Submit to the rulership of Christ right here, right now. And whoever you face, do it the way Christ would. Give Him dominion over your pride, over your ego, over your flesh. Give Him everything. What binds the church together in a spirit of unity is the Spirit of God and a love for one another. By this all men shall know you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen. Amen.